And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas for 4 more weeks. And I'm here tonight with Lynn Perotti, Bahamian artist, and 2 art historians, Tatiana Flores and Allison Thompson. Don't forget that if you miss the show or you're listening to it in your car driving home and you have to get out and you're like, dang, I'm going to miss the rest of this awesome show, that we always upload the shows after they have aired on Guardian 96.9 to the NAGB's website at nagb.org.bs. You go there, go to the Learn menu, and you go to Adult and Public Programs, and you can not only listen to all of our former lectures and artist talks and get movies about artists, but you can listen to The Blank Canvas. You can listen to all of the archive shows going back like eight years, and that's a lot of episodes. And so you can always share that with your friends. And so you can always like listen to The Blank Canvas anytime if you missed an episode or something like that. While you're on the NAGB's website, don't forget to see what's happening at the NAGB, because there's a lot happening. Even now we're all social distanced. We are still managing to do some workshops very, very distanced. And we, of course, have our exhibition still open and you can come see that. And we have all the protocols in place so that you remain safe. And of course, we have our beautiful sculpture park, which is all outdoors, and there's free Wi-Fi in the park, and you can download playlists that go with each sculpture, and you can learn about the sculptures. And we have outdoor movies. We have so much stuff happening at the NAGB, and it's all free, so there's no reason not to come. So don't forget to check that out and support your art community. And supporting doesn't mean necessarily spending money. It means just showing up, because artists really love it when you come to see their show and appreciate their work. And of course, one of our shows opening next week is Lynn Perotti, who we have here tonight on The Blank Canvas. Yay! So Lynn, it was
Hello.
Listening before, right? Hey, you're talking about this kind of full circle of, your first ever work that you did was for the high school show. Yeah. It was about the bleaching of the corals. And now this show is very much about, what's happening in the oceans. Of course, we're all concerned about the changing of the temperature because things are dying, and of course, how that affects hurricanes. I feel like the ocean's always kind of been a theme, though, in your work. It was never that far away.
There's always water, whether it's frozen or the cost of clean water supply, like what I did for the show that Tatiana curated and organized and conceived.
It was called Relational Undercurrents. And so that
Relational
was
Undercurrents.
Ocean, right?
It was about the cost of clean water supply, and the name of that particular work is called Thirst 1 and Thirst 2. So, but mainly my work is about the actual ocean. And so in this particular show, there is also frozen water. There's a glacier, and that's called Memento Mori, and it's all about a melting glacier and how that's contributing to the sea level rise. That's pretty obvious. But as one goes around the show, you'll get like reminders of how everything is interconnected, and that's what's very important to me. And what's the most important thing to me about the show is that it gives this message of our human responsibility for our planet. And what we can do, mainly, just to respect and preserve the natural wonders and the natural sort of systems that are in one place. For instance, I do a lot of research for my work, and I was watching something recently, and I learned that seagrasses and mangroves actually absorb 35% of the carbon dioxide from the air. More than the rainforests in the Amazon do, and they actually trap it into the ocean and in the seabed and sort of filter it through. So basically they're like sponges and filters for the CO2, which is in the environment that is actually contributing to global warming or, directly responsible for it. So these are seagrasses and mangroves, which we have a lot of in the Bahamas. I mean, if you look at the whole sort of shallow area. What exactly? So that's why I always paint mangroves. I've been painting mangroves, whether I'm in the water looking up through the mangroves or looking down into the mangroves, or at eye level looking at where the lull of the water meets the coastline, and where, you know, earth and water actually become one in a way.
Yeah, so, and I think sometimes because you paint these kind of beautiful scenes, people at first glance sometimes just imagine that your work is purely sort of decorative or, but Tatiana, you know, you've, and Alison, both of you have included Lynn in some pretty major shows. Lynn referred to Relational Undercurrents, which I think is, again, really interesting because it's about, you know, this image of the water, and that's actually what separates us in the region, but also connects us. For you, Tatiana, like, why was it important, for example, in a show like Relational Undercurrents to include Lynn's work, and what draws you to it? And can you speak a little bit to her practice?
Yes, Relational Undercurrents was an exhibition, a major exhibition of contemporary Caribbean art that took place in Long Beach, California in 2017 as part of a Getty Foundation initiative. And the Getty is it's a major museum, but it's also sort of a conglomerate of spaces and major funder for the arts in Southern California. And so the initiative was called Pacific Standard Time, Los Angeles, Latin America, LA. And one of the points that I wanted to make is what I was talking about earlier of why, you know, the absence of the Caribbean from a regional consciousness and these barriers that seem to be erected and the borders that grow between contiguous spaces like Guyana and Venezuela, like Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So it was very important to me in the show to bring the Caribbean and the Caribbean islands specifically in conversation and to think about telling a holistic story rather than one that is based on eclecticism and based on this, what I consider to be a false separation, but that definitely there are a lot of nationalisms in the Caribbean. And what I wanted to do was to mitigate that sense of, difference and tell a story that was bringing people from different spaces together who didn't know necessarily of each other's work. There was a theme of landscape in the exhibition. There were four major themes. One of them was landscape ecologies, which is where Lynn's work was placed. And when I set out to curate that theme, I wanted to find artists who were especially not just thinking critically about landscape, but especially concerned with climate change and with the ecologies of the present, the environmental threat. And believe it or not, and I think that's changed in the last few years, but in 2015, 16, when I'm doing the research for the exhibition, it wasn't that easy to find. And especially because I wanted to have representation insular, like a broad representation. So if I could have filled the whole space with Puerto Rican artists, but that was contrary to the aims of the show. Mm-hmm. And so Lynn's work was so important in making, because it was the landscape in a way that's engaging with the urgency of the climate crisis and the environmental threat that we are facing as a human race. And so that was how she just fit right in. It was kind of made to order for the exhibition. Oh, we seem to have lost Amanda, but why don't you answer, Alison, how you've included Lynn in your exhibitions. We'll take it from here.
Right. Well, I recently organized an exhibition at the Barbados Museum, co-curated with Vera LePoupe, who is a curator based in Jamaica. And the show was called Arrivance, and it looked at migration, particularly within the English-speaking Caribbean. And so it looked at migration within the region, but also obviously between the Caribbean and the UK. And I had long wanted to look more closely at Lynn's work, particularly in conjunction with a landscape painter here in Barbados, Winston Kelman, who had spent a number of years in the UK during the 80s and had deliberately decided to return to the region. And what I was interested in is the way that they both explore, particularly the Caribbean landscape, their attachment to it, and the way in which they're challenging traditional kind of picturesque representations of these spaces, and instead are really asking of the viewer to view these as critical and complex places, both in terms of the environment and the growing threat to small island developing nations, given the climate crisis that we're in right now, but also the history of these places and to see these as colonized spaces. And so there, you know, there was this really interesting dialogue between these two artists who have never met each other, but have had the same kind of really long-term investment in these spaces, whether they're there or whether they're away from them. And I think also that idea of your attachment to place when you've had that sense of displacement is a recurring theme for the region. Lynn, maybe you could talk a little bit about the work that you had in that show.
Well, I was thinking of doing that because some other big fact that I just recently had, like lots of statistics thrown at me about, was how the stealing of local communities' fish reserve is, you know, obviously leading to these people who live on these coastal areas having to get their food from someplace else. So if you look at places like Somalia or Liberia or wherever, these people, instead of eating their own fish that they can no longer have access to because they're being robbed in the middle of the night by some other sort of industrial fishing, they end up having to go inland to get monkeys or other mammals or food to eat, which is where things like Ebola comes from, because, you know, the whole sort of balance and the food source of the coastal fishing villages is all disrupted or unavailable. So, you know, you get all this sort of news about how these Somalian pirates came and like trying to take over a ship. Well, they're hungry, they're starving, and this is why they're doing it. And this is, you know, throwing everything upside down. So basically, the work that I had in the show in Barbados was two very innocent looking little paintings, which were all about coral bleaching and how, you know, just by a 1.5 degree Celsius increase above pre-industrial levels, corals die. Like over 50% of the corals have died. And what that means is that the little fish don't have a place to live. The big fish don't have a place to hunt. And then it just goes in and it goes down and down and down from there. And at the end of the day, you end up with a dead seas. And this, so my little Montipora, which is a type of coral, were shown in those in that show. And it just shows a very sort of pleasant looking up close image of a reef. But then once you start to look closely, you see like little dots starting to rise from the tops. And this is when the actual corals are being bleached, is when the algae, which it lives inside of them, is dying and it exits the coral structure. And this ends up with the corals turning white because they can no longer photosynthesize. So then they die, and then that's it. So it's all, you know, all about the big picture. And so I usually try to entice the viewer with a small, beautiful looking image of the coral or the fish or whatever. And then once you start to look at it, you see there's something more sinister going on underneath.
That reminds me of a museum director in Germany that I worked with once called Udo Kittelmann. And I remember him telling me that he thought the museum should be like a trap, that you like entice, like you put something nice and tasty on the outside, and then you get people in and you kind of like, then you start to try to open the mind. And I feel like your work is a little bit like that. It's kind of these very sinister things you're talking about are actually very beautiful the way you paint them. And so you sort of get drawn into this kind of colorful, beautiful world. And then you only realize that there's something kind of rotten happening underneath it.
Well, usually there is, because that's a part of nature as well. But I like to be a bit of an optimistic person as well. Otherwise, it's far too, you know, I don't want to make ugly art. Like Shakespeare's Malvolio was a boring character, but he didn't bore the audience. Mm-hmm. He got the audience in there listening to what he was saying. And then you realize, oh, my God, he's so bored. But he's not boring.
So. Do you think of yourself as like being like an activist artist at all? Which again, like I know it's like an image that especially now is a very different, because we think of activism as being something you know, again, like not seductive necessarily like your paintings are, but do you see yourself as an activist with your work?
I think that everyone has small steps they can do, and I definitely do a lot of small steps, but more in the past year, I've become more of an activist in that I'm sort of, well, I'm making my work more poignant about what I'm trying to say, and also in what I'm eating, what I'm actually eating as well. It's very important what you consume. It's all about consumption at the end of the day. I mean, you know, yesterday was Easter. How many little lamb's legs got eaten? I don't know, but, you know, you don't want to eat a lot of fish now either, because actually the fishing industry is one of the worst. And it's one of the most damaging to the planet because of what it's actually helping to do with, to contribute with the acidity of the oceans and also the warming of the seas. So,
yeah. But I think a lot of us turn to fish because we all were, you know, we all realized meat was so bad. And I guess maybe in the future we'll just turn to plant-based. I mean, maybe that will be, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I think that ultimately it's just too many people, but that's a whole other topic. That's another time. We have to go to a break. We have to go to a break, and then we'll talk about that when we come back. Because I know Lynn's like, I've got something to say. I'm here tonight talking to Lynn Perotti, when my Wi-Fi is allowing me, talking to Lynn Perotti, Bahamian artist whose solo show is about to open at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas next week on the 15th of April. And the two scholars who contributed catalog essays to the exhibition, Tatiana Flores, who is a professor at Rutgers University in the Department of Art History and Latino and Caribbean Studies, and Allison Thompson from Barbados, who is at the Teaching Center, who's teaching at the Center for Visual Performing Arts at Barbados Community College. And they both gave really wonderful essays for our catalog, if we can all that one. And just stay tuned for more Blank Canvas. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, and we're going to be right back after this break.